Penguin Random House Audio presents Teresa of Avila, The Book of My Life. Translated by Mirabai Starr. Forward by Tessa Bilecki. Read for you by Gabrielle Made. With a forward, introduction, and note on the translation, read by Kathleen Gatti. Forward by Tessa Bilecki. Teresa of Avila had that mysterious quality the Spanish called duende, which is characteristic of gypsies, flamenco guitarists, and dancers. Duende is raw, primitive, tempestuous energy, a vulnerability to inspiration burning in the blood. Fiery, wild, and utterly original, duende cannot tolerate neat, tidy categories, cramped forms, or human limitations of any kind. Duende makes us ready to be devoured in the heroic struggle for individuation and genuine freedom. In the Arab world, when duende enters and transfigures any music, dance, or epic poem, the people cry out, "Allah! Allah! God! God!" How close this is to the Spanish, "Olé! Olé!" Perhaps these cries have the same source, since the Moors, a Muslim people of mixed Berber-Arab descent, invaded Spain in 711 and lived there for almost 800 years. Ferdinand and Isabella finally expelled them in 1492, less than 25 years before Teresa's birth. The Moors left behind not only the magnificent Alhambra, the Red Castle, to dominate the city of Granada and the Spanish imagination, they bequeathed to Spain and through this country to the Western world a rich legacy, inherited but not acknowledged by Saint Teresa. Duende is usually associated with artists, musicians, dancers, and poets. Teresa was all of these and more, for she was also a mystic, that is, one who knows God by experience. With the inspiration of duende, Teresa made mysticism into music, poetry, art, and an ecstatic dance with a beloved, while she also walked the path of suffering, like every creative genius. Teresa was a prolific writer, a great leader, and a teacher of the art of prayer. In 1970, almost 400 years after her death, she was finally recognized as the first woman doctor of the church. She also stands out as the only woman in the history of the church ever to reform a religious order of men. What does Teresa have to do with us in the 21st century? Not many of us can be writers, found a school of spirituality, or reform a group of men. Yet Teresa serves as a vital prototype for a spiritual thrust that is desperately needed in our broken world. Teresa was so vibrant, she fascinated those around her and has continued to fascinate down through the centuries. She was a dynamic personality, wild as a child, wild as she grew from an adolescent into a ravishing young woman, wildest of all as she reached middle age and set out on her quixotic adventures through her native Spain. She was stunning to look at, with shining black hair, beautiful teeth, an unusual face, a figure that was more substantial than slender. She was outgoing, cheerful, charming, and a scintillating conversationalist. People from all walks of life listened to her, men and women, bishops and mule drivers, theologians and laypeople, dukes and duchesses, even King Philip himself. Teresa enjoyed both talking and silence. She enjoyed being alone and having a good time. She was a natural leader. As a child, she had an ingenious capacity for inventing new games and playing the starring role. The knight, the fairy godmother, the martyr burned at the stake. As an adult, she played these roles for real. "I was strikingly shrewd when it came to mischief," she confessed. She loved to laugh and laughed often. When she did, everyone else around her laughed. She liked perfume and fine clothes, chivalry, romance, and the color orange. Many people in Ávila were in love with her. Teresa de Ahumada? With her fine mind, shapely legs, and ample dowry, people said, she'll marry whomever she chooses. This was rare freedom in an era of arranged marriages. Teresa's life was such high drama, we should indulge our wildest imaginings. See the all-engulfing solitude of the Castilian plain, the 90 stone turrets of the formidable walls of Ávila, the sharp, jagged peaks of the Sierra de Gredos against the skyline. Hear the musical sounds of Teresa's voice, as well as her tambourine, castanets, and drum, which she played even as a nun. Imagine sitting down with her for a good visit, basking in her wide embrace, her gaiety, and the depth of her wisdom. For Teresa was a woman of substance as well as charm. Visualize her Jewish grandfather degraded by the Inquisition, stripped to the waist and paraded through the streets of Toledo in a humiliating procession through the jeering crowds. Her five brothers sailing to South America and fighting for the conquest of Peru, Colombia, Argentina, Ecuador, and Chile. Her beloved friend and helpmate, St. John of the Cross, escaping from his nine-month imprisonment with the help of the Virgin Mary and a mongrel dog. Imagine the beautiful black-eyed Teresa at a party, at prayer, or doing penance, laughing over the lizard that crawled up her arm and landed in the face of her friend Antonio Ruiz, weeping over the death of her beloved father. It seemed my soul was being wrenched from me. Or composing little verses to sing at celebrations. Watch her travel back and forth across the Spanish countryside in a rickety-covered wagon, joking with her rustic muleteers, or giving astute spiritual guidance to the wealthy merchants who often accompanied her. See her captivating half the men in Spain, including the king, not as a young, eligible girl, but as a middle-aged mother foundress, la madre fundadora, who needed help from high places and got it, but not without paying the high price of pain. Teresa was an earth mother and an earthy mystic, a poet and a brilliant administrator, a shrewd politician and a faithful friend, who walked a dangerous tightrope between the polarities of life, yet held the delicate balance between human and divine, fast and feast, ecstasy and common sense. Reading the lives of spiritual giants, I am often frustrated by the polished accounts of their eventual transformation that tell me almost nothing about the arduous years it took to get there. That's why the raw and unwieldy life of Teresa is so refreshing. This book is the memoir of a life in the middle of unfolding, explains Mirabai Starr. A story of the coming of age of a mystic. We learn how to cope with our own struggles when we see how Teresa struggled with hers, a raging addiction to romance novels, falling dangerously in love, 18 years of aridity when she never dared to pray without a book. How can we not identify with Teresa when she admits so humbly that she gets so angry she wants to eat everyone up without being able to help it? Teresa did not become an integrated human being all at once, any more than we do. Her transformation was a gradual process that took her entire lifetime. And like us, Teresa made many mistakes, some serious. She knew fear, failure, and human weakness, loneliness, illness, and exhaustion. The joy of sympathy and the pain of misunderstanding, especially from friends who took the biggest bite out of her. Before she could soar like an eagle, she had to crawl on her belly like a snake, literally, as she slowly began to move again after an excruciating paralysis that lasted 3 years. Throughout her sufferings, Teresa was humbly and heroically aware of her destiny and God's designs, and she clung to these tenacious.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?